Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams.
You know, history's the history. Like, I'm kind of done talking about it. Like, we go back so much all the time, and that those days are over.
Are you as high on Caleb Williams now as you were when the Bears first drafted him? 312-644-6767, the number here. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Mark Grody and Rami Makhlouf in for Layla and Marshall. Both are off today. I still feel pretty damn good about Caleb Williams, but maybe the concern meter has gone from maybe up a notch from like a 3 to a 4, just because of some of the stuff that I have seen and some of the complications that existed last year with Caleb Williams that are still showing themselves. And I still have not seen like good days stacked together one after another with the cap. And I do. I take it all into consideration. The new coach, the bad coaching last year, the new defense, the new offensive coordinators, the new play calls, it all adds in. But for a guy that we were all, and I said it too, calling generational, calling elite, calling the best quarterback since Andrew Luck, that has taken a slight hit with me. Still think he's pretty good. And I said it yesterday, if I still had to press the yes or no button on Caleb Williams, it's still yes, but I'm not as convinced as I was when they drafted him.
My concern was never necessarily Caleb Williams, and not that there aren't, you know, holes in his game or weaknesses that he can work on. My concern is, As a lifelong Bears fan and watching them break every quarterback that they've ever drafted or traded for or signed, I wondered if they were going to break another one. And I had concerns about the offensive line going into last year. I had concerns about Shane Waldron as an offensive coordinator going into last year and how that type of stuff might affect his development and success at the NFL level. And it's better this year, or at least I think it's better this year. They addressed the offensive line. They got the brightest offensive mind in the league in Ben Johnson, but we haven't seen this offensive line play together. We haven't seen Ben Johnson be a head coach. So I do still have questions about that, but I'm more confident that those questions will be answered in the way I'd like to see them be answered than I was last year. So maybe slightly more confident, and less to do with Caleb Williams, more to do with the situation that Caleb Williams is in and that nest that Ryan Poles talked about putting him in last year. I think the nest is a little bit more well built and a little bit more secure this year, but I won't fully believe that until I see it on the field, because I'm just too traumatized as a Bears fan and seeing what they've done to quarterbacks my whole life.
The Bears are in the best position right now, I think, and this is dangerous to say, the best position they've been in a long time to properly develop a quarterback. On paper.
On paper, yes.
Ben Johnson, you feel really good. But like, nobody knew that Shane Waldron was going to be a complete fail. And I'm using Waldron because it was Waldron who was running the offense.
Yes.
But we gave him a chance. We didn't know much about him except for his work in Seattle with Geno Smith. We hit everybody over the head with that. Well, he did this with Geno Smith, and he was awful. But even on paper, you could not have looked at that and said, yeah, Shane Waldron is going to give the Bears a great chance to finally develop a quarterback. Ben Johnson is the best opportunity you've had in the string of top-ranked quarterbacks.
For all the struggles he did have last year, and he had struggles, I didn't see anything from Caleb Williams that was like a red flag where I was like, man, maybe this guy ain't it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was watching him going, oh my God, what? Look at this terrible situation that he's in.
A lot of the time, I mean? Yeah.
So if you're asking me about just Caleb Williams, I'm right where I was last year. If you're asking me about my confidence that Caleb Williams will pan out, it's a little bit higher this year, but more because of the circumstance and the situation.
Let's, Robbie Tree, do me a favor. Bring me Paul in Lockport. Paul, you're on the score.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, Grody, if I saw you on the street, I would want to stop and talk and have a beer with you, even though I know you don't drink.
Hey, man, you buy me. Hey, you see me on the street, we'll do it, and we'll I'll have an O'Doul's, and you could get drunk, and I'll drive you home. How's that sound?
10-4, I like that.
All right, Paul, we'll let you talk to Robbie. Robbie, write that down. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. For me, man, I got Bears PTSD when it comes to these quarterbacks, and I just don't hear enough of you embedded reporters saying like today was like the best day. It's always, it was a bad day, and there's a couple of good plays, and that's what I'm concerned about. I just don't, I'm not really giving up, but I'm not feeling it.
Okay. All right. Paul, you know what we need to do for Paul? We need to give Paul a couple beers in him. That's really,
he'll feel better.
No, I get it. Like, hey, man, like, even when I was a fan of the Bears and I would listen for Bears stuff when they were in Platteville, when I was just a young prepubescent Grody, and I'm like, what's going on with the Bears? And I'd be like, I want to turn on the radio. I want to hear Kopic on sports. Tell me that everything's okay in Bears camp. They're flinging it around here. It's better than ever. And like, when I didn't hear that stuff, I'd be like, what the hell is going on out there? And I might get mad at the people who were reporting it, but I understand where he's coming from, because even when, like, as a reporter out there, like, I want to sit here and tweet to you about the bombs that Caleb Williams is throwing. I don't want to tell you that he had another mediocre day. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of mediocre days.
Can I ask you, as somebody who covers Bears camp, I was watching, there's a podcast I watch and listen to sometimes. My old buddy Phil Mackey, he works up in Minneapolis.
Okay.
He does a podcast with a couple of former offensive linemen, Patrick Searles and Alex Boone. And Searles was saying he hates. That was his exact, he hates reporters who chart training camp.
Oh, man.
And what quarterbacks are doing in training camp. And his point was, you don't know what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Like, they might be telling the quarterback to throw into the blitz, to work on throwing into a blitz. And he laid out a bunch of situations. How much stock do you, because you hear it all the time. Caleb was 16 for 27 in live action drills hitter, whatever the case might be. How much stock do you put in what you see from a quarterback out on the field in training camp when you hear it or when you see it?
I think that there's some things that you could look at and say it doesn't matter what he knows about or what he's being told to do or what he knows the defense isn't or is not doing. Accuracy is accuracy. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Like, if I'm out there one day, and there was a day where I was out there and he was like, Caleb Williams was missing on deep balls, and there's no way, like, one-on-one coverage, right? Like, deep. So there's no funny stuff going on right there. You could also tell, you know, like, when the pocket is collapsing and what is Caleb Williams doing with the football at that point. You could tell, and look, Caleb Williams talked about this, about his, one of the things that he specifically was struggling with was short throws to the left side, and you would see him throwing the ball behind people. So, and that goes for the positive things too. Like when he threw the misdirection to Cole Kmet at Soldier Field, it was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
The whole defense was on the other side. There's a wide open. How many times have you seen Bears opponents do that against them? I don't take any points away from the Caleb's great plays either. All of that stuff, though, Rami, like, you could add that. See, I always say, like, we are presenting you with as many facts as we can from Hallis Hall, and then you could take it as a fan or a broadcaster, do with it whatever you want. You could take all the disclaimers and mix all of that in, so you can have your own opinion, because none of us knows really how much Caleb Williams is affected by having this brand new offense, brand new coach, you know, different defense. All of it is different. None of us really knows how to calculate
right.
that. But feel free to add it in and not take seriously the problems that he's had. If you want to wash that away, that's fine. But I will continue to present you with the truth.
So extrapolate what you want.
Absolutely.
From the information
and that's
being
fair.
Given.
And that's not me being, you know, like, getting mad at people. Like, absolutely. Listen to what we say and then add all the add last year, mix it all in, and then make your opinion on Caleb Williams.
I just wanted to use the word extrapolate. You've used fastidious a couple times. I felt like I needed to match you on that.
You write that down, Rob?
Extrapolate. Yeah,
see, Robbie knows. Robbie knows.
Spell it.
Yeah, write that down. And while you're at it here on the Rahimi and Harris show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Grody and Maklouf in for those two here today, asking you the question, are you as comfortable with Caleb Williams right now as you were the day the Bears drafted him? 312-644-6767. Somebody please bring me Gotti in Rogers Park. Gotti, you are on The Score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. This is amazing.
Sure.
First of all, a few callers ago, y'all were talking about Shane Waldron, and I just want to say that Jackson Smith Najigba knew that
yeah, he
Shane
did.
Waldron wasn't going to be good.
Yes, he did. And we shouldn't have just used that as a little kicker. And finally, no. That should have been the headline.
When I saw that clip, I passed over it. I was just like, oh, like, whatever. Like,
same.
Probably not a big deal.
Same.
But so much. There were so many words in that one clip, and we all should have seen it coming. But, overall, when Caleb was drafted, I always have super high hopes for all the Bears players. So in my mind, I was like, this is the guy. He's going to light it up this year. He's going to be the quarterback that we never had. And I think this past season, while obviously there was a lot of issues with the staff and the environment around him, I also think that it was just kind of like a reflection of like, oh, like most quarterbacks don't like light it up necessarily their first year. So in that sense, I'm not as high just because like I was so beyond high when he was just drafted, like unrealistically. So now I feel that I'm a little bit more grounded in terms of my expectations, but I see throws that he made this past year that I was like I'm young, like I'm 23. I've only seen like a handful of Bears quarterbacks, but he made throws that I haven't seen the last four Bears quarterbacks make. So that makes me really, really hopeful in regards to him and his future.
Gotti, thank you. You, sir, you were amazing. Rami, what'd you think about what Gotti had to say?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't as high as he was just because of, like I said, I've just seen the Bears break too many quarterbacks. But yeah, I mean, he does things that we haven't seen a Bears quarterback do since maybe Jay Cutler,
who had
all the arm talent in the world, and it never really panned out. I'm not taking Jay Cutler off the hook for that, but he, like every other Bears quarterback we've seen, time and time again, was not put in the best situation.
And to be sure, when Jay Cutler was here, you got the reports you wanted. You know, I was in the business then, but I was like, okay, I want to hear this. Let's hear what Zach has to say out there. And it was like, oh my God, Jay Cutler has a rifle for an arm. Look what he is doing.
Yeah.
So it's happened before. There are quarterbacks that string good days together in training camp. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I told that staff when we came back from the summer that I need a bunch of truth tellers around me. I need guys that aren't going to tell me what I want to hear, but are going to tell me how they see it. And then at the end of the day, I'll be able to assess the information and make a decision, and we'll go with it. And that's been the course so far.
Can Ben Johnson handle the truth? I love truth-telling. Ben Johnson, the Bears head coach, from whom you just heard, has been a truth-teller, or so it feels so far. As we welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, Rami Maklouf, sitting in for those two who shall return on Monday here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's keep the NFL and Bears talk hot. Now joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline is Matt Verderam, the NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated, host of the Matt Verderam Show on Patreon, and he joins us right now. Download the Circa app today. We understand, Matt, that you've been hanging out in barbecue heaven with the Kansas City Chiefs. What's going on, man?
Yeah, good. Was out in Kansas City the last couple days. Now back, and then the whole NFC North next week. So I've been moving around. Indy's done, Cincy's done. It's been a busy month, but a good month.
We'll get into the Bears and the NFC North, but since you've been in Kansas City, is everybody okay in KC? Is Patrick Mahomes in shape? Have they lost it because they lost in the Super Bowl? Because it did feel like the sky was falling last year.
No, I mean, I got to tell you, I watched them practice for a little over 2 hours yesterday, and they looked pretty good. Mahomes looked like Mahomes. Kelsey, you could tell, slimmed down. I've seen them in the camps the last, I don't know, 3-4 years during their camp tours. He looked good. I thought Worthy clearly can run routes better than he could a year ago, especially at this time. The big question for them is going to be the left side of their offensive line. Of course, Joe Tooney's now in Chicago. They drafted Josh Simmons. Simmons has really looked the part so far, but it's early. Who knows? If the left side of that line is good, it's going to be really hard to beat them. I don't look. Somebody certainly can. The Eagles showed that. But would I pick them in the AFC? Yeah. I mean, based off of that team and their track record, yeah, I still think they're clearly the team to beat in the AFC.
So the Chiefs are the Chiefs. As usual, it feels like going into a Bears season, we don't know exactly what the Bears are. What have been, though, Matt, your early impressions about what you've been seeing, hearing, or reading about Caleb Williams and the Bears and Ben Johnson and what they should be expected to do this year?
Well, look, there's an expectation, right, that they're going to be better. Ben Johnson was the guy that everybody wanted to hire for the last couple of years. And for a little while, he had taken himself out of consideration. He wants to stay in Detroit, and then he goes to Chicago. You can't argue about the hire in the sense that he was everybody's guy. And now, look, he's in Chicago. He has Caleb Williams. Williams last year was inconsistent, but flashed, was sacked 68 times. That, to me, is the big thing here, is Ben Johnson working with Caleb Williams. You've got to get that number cut down to, like, half of that. You've got to be down to 30, 35. Because how many drives, when you get sacked, those drives are typically done. Like, mm-hmm. Statistically speaking, right, it either goes from 7-3 or 3-0. And so some of those are on the offensive line, which has been addressed as brand new interior, some of which is on Caleb. He's got to get the ball out faster. He can't take that sack. That ball's just got to be out or thrown away. I expect that it's going to be a learning curve. Ben Johnson's offense is pretty involved, but I also think that Johnson's offense is quarterback friendly and probably gives Caleb the best chance to succeed in the long term.
Did you see anything from Caleb Williams individually last year that moved you in one direction or the other from where you were on him when he first got drafted?
No, not really. Look, I expected him to be good as a rookie. Not great, good. And I thought as a rookie, he was fine. I don't think he was bad. I don't think he was great. And look, that's a really tough situation to be in. That team, after the Hail Mary in Washington, completely fell apart in every possible way. Eberflus was a dead coach walking at that point. They lost, 10 games in a row? Yeah, something like that. That team was emotionally shot after that game. And look, I will say, and I said before, I think Williams has to stop with the negative plays that he can avoid. That's got to be job number one. This year. He didn't throw a ton of picks, but taking big sacks, just flip it out of bounds, throw it over some guy's head. Like that, those easy throws. I was at OTAs. Now they're OTAs, right? I mean, glean what you want from them. But there were times where, in a 7-on-7 drill, hey, this guy's open. Just throw it to him. Throw it for 6-7 yards instead of trying to force it down the field and getting picked off by a linebacker. Like, now granted, that's a time to try things and to experiment, but you know, in a game, if it's second and 10, you got a guy open in the flat for 5 yards, throw it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, the next step in his evolution.
No doubt. No doubt. And that seems to be, you know, reading between the lines of a lot of the things that Ben Johnson has said, and to a lesser degree, the offensive coordinator, Declan Doyle, is, yeah, the special. There'll always be room for the special, but let's get the simple down, which he has struggled with to some degree. Matt, I got to ask you, too. You know, last year, I'll just say me, and I know I'm not the only one. A lot of us fell for what was around Caleb Williams last year. When Keenan Allen came in, they drafted Roma Dunze. You've got DJ Moore there. You've got Cole Kmet there. Everything seemed to be in place. I'm very tempted to say the same thing this year because the offensive line is better, because you drafted Colston Loveland, because you drafted Luther Burden, because Roma yep. Dunze is in his second year. Isn't it ideal for Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean, it is, which is why, to me, that's where the pressure goes on him. There's no excuses. You brought in Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson at guard. Excuse me. You brought in Drew Dahlman in free agency at center. Tooney's an all-pro, borderline Hall of Famer. These other two guys are really good players. You better be good. You brought in a coach who is offensive-minded, who people have been trying to hire away from Detroit for years. You have weapons. DJ Moore is a better receiver than anybody on the Packers, for an example. Roma Dunze might end up being better than anybody on the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, like, defensively, they're good. There's no excuse for them to finish in the last place this year in the NFC North, as tough as the division is. Because I think, quite frankly, I think they're more talented than Green Bay. And I think when you look at Minnesota, like, I love Minnesota's roster, but there's a huge question mark, obviously, at quarterback. You just don't know what J.J. McCarthy's going to be. Now, look, if the Bears go out this year and they're 9-8 in a really hard division and they just miss out on the playoffs, is it disappointing? Yeah, but you could defend it. If they go 7-10 and they're in last place and Caleb Williams doesn't make a significant jump, that's a failure all the way around. Like, they should be a borderline, if not playoff team. And if they're not that needs to be discussed as to why. Is it Johnson? Is it Williams? Is it something else? But that there's no excuse for this team not to be significantly improved.
Grody and Maklof in for Rahimi and Harris, talking with Matt Verderam of SI.com here on the show. And I agree with you that the pressure is on Caleb and on the offense, and the spotlight is there too, but it would take a lot of the pressure off if that defense could live up to the expectations that folks had for them last year when people were talking about them being a top 5, top 10 defense. That's where I'm setting the bar this year. Even though there isn't a lot of that chatter, Matt, and the spotlight isn't on them, that's what I want this defense to be. Is that realistic in your eyes?
Yeah, I think they can be a top 10 defense. They do. I mean, they've got star players on that team. Jalen Johnson's one of the best corners in the NFL. I think Jaquan Brisker, as long as he's healthy, is one of the better safeties in the league. They have excellent linebacker play with Edwards and with Edmonds. They have an $100 million edge rusher in Montez Sweat. Like, yeah. I mean, I think Gervin Dexter's a good player. They have enough guys. There is no excuse for them not to be good defensemen. I get it. Eberflus is gone, and so you're changing over maybe some of the stylistic parts of it. But, again, look, this Bears team, there's pressure for a lot of reasons. They haven't been a legitimate contender in a while. Defensively, you look at them and say there's talent there. Offensively, you look at them and say there's talent there. And also with Williams specifically, let's be real. There's a lot of pressure on him, too, because what the guy did behind him last year. I mean, Jaden Daniels went out and won Offensive Rookie of the Year and took a Commanders team that franchise has been a dumpster fire for 30 years, turned into the NFC Championship game. So, look, I do think the defense can be a top 10 unit. And I think offensively, there's no excuse for them not to be able to function top half of the league level. I'm not saying they're going to be Buffalo or even a Detroit or maybe even a team like a Kansas City with all the talent, but like, they can be a top 15 offense and improving as the year goes on.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. I mean, what we worry about with the defense is, Matt, is getting to the quarterback. Now, maybe Dennis Allen and his creativity and his version of the 4-3 defense will just naturally allow for there to be more pressure on the inside. But when we look at, like, Dio Dangbo, who has never had a double-digit sack year, Montez Sweat only one double-digit sack year, that's the concerning part, Matt.
Yeah, no, and it is. Look, the Bears, Dennis Allen's a very good coordinator. He's not a good coach, head coach, but he's a good coordinator. He's a very good coordinator. I would expect that the Bears, if there was one thing defensively that you look at and say, okay, what is it? It's like, okay, you need to have a secondary pass rusher who's consistent when you're not blitzing outside of sweat. Right? Like their secondary should be good. I'm not that worried about the secondary. Again, I think the linebackers are excellent. I think the big thing is if you can, as an offense, if you can erase sweat, if you can limit him in a game, who's going to be that other guy? And if that other guy doesn't exist, do you then have to blitz a lot and sit there and say, okay, well, we're gonna put our corners on islands and we're going to take more chances? And look, I think the Bears have the corners that you can do that at times. At the same point, I don't care who you are, it's the NFL. If you blitz and you don't get home and some guy's got 3 seconds, you got a problem. So I do think they did add some pieces, as you mentioned, in free agency. I do think there are some guys like a Dexter, who I mentioned earlier, who I think can take the next step. But yes, like that is probably the piece that you look at and go, all right, if there's a game where sweat's not rolling or he's out for a couple of weeks, is the pass rush going to be there enough that you don't have to play roulette all the time? And that's a question probably 20 teams in the league have. But the Bears are in that group.
Man, I know you said you're going to be visiting the NFC, the other NFC North teams next week. You already mentioned that you think that the Bears roster at least is more talented than Green Bay. Doesn't mean the Bears are going to win more. But how do you kind of handicap the NFC North at this point? Minnesota, Detroit, still the top dogs in this division, no doubt. Or do you see it differently?
I like Minnesota a lot more than most because I just look at the Vikings and say O'Connell's a great coach and he's a great quarterbacks coach. And if they get anything out of McCarthy, that team is stacked. I mean, you look at them across the board and there's not too many weaknesses. The secondary, maybe, specifically the corners outside of Murphy, but they're pretty loaded. I am very interested in Detroit. I've been a huge Detroit guy the last couple of years. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl last year. I don't know what to think of them. You know, normally you lose a coordinator and you're like, all right, you know, it's okay. But with Dan Campbell's not an offensive or defensive coordinator by trade. So losing both those coordinators and replacing them, quite honestly, with really unproven guys in those spots, that's going to be interesting. I also don't know what, you know, Hutchinson, McNeil, they're coming off huge injuries. Like, I think Detroit takes a step back here. I don't think all of a sudden they're going to go 9-8, but I think they could be an 11-win team instead of a 15-win team. I think they're still very good. Are they the same? No. Minnesota, the big question is McCarthy. And then, yeah, the Packers, I love LaFleur as a coach. I don't know if we completely know what Love is yet. I think he's good. I don't think he's great.
Yeah.
But you look at them and, like, who's the weapon that scares you to death on defense? I don't know. Who's the guy on their defense that you look at and go, that guy is a game wrecker? I don't know if that guy exists. Like, I've always thought Rashawn Gary was going to become that guy, but he never really has. So I think the Bears, if you're the Bears, you're going, look, we can win 10 games and we can compete with these teams because the Vikings have questions, the Lions have questions, and the Packers have questions. So tough division, great division, but I think the Bears are good enough that they can be in the mix in it.
I love it, Matt. Great stuff. Look forward to probably talking to you more this summer and throughout the season. Good luck with your tour of the NFC North, and thanks for coming on The Score, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Yep, that is Matt Verderam of SI.com. Good stuff from him.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
How do you interpret Mayor Brandon Johnson's comments on the midday show of Rahimi and Harris with Mark Rohde yesterday about the Bears stadium project and publicly challenging you fans to do something that will result in the team staying here in town? What is he saying here, and how realistic is any of this?
My door will remain open, but it's really clear that with all of the investments that are happening in our city, again, from Joe Mansueto and Chicago Fire, the 1901 project outside the United Center, The momentum is certainly swinging in our direction, and we're on a nice little hot winning streak here. So my door is going to remain open, and the hope is that Chicago Bears fans, you know, rally around in this moment to, you know, challenge all of us to come together to figure out a pathway to make sure that the 100-year history doesn't end in this moment, and that we can set ourselves up for the next 100 years.
Your reaction to Chicago's mayor yesterday on The Score.
Thank you to the mayor for coming on The Score. And with due respect, that was political gibberish. I don't know what the fans can possibly do to have an impact on where the Bears play football. Certainly, they don't have any impact on their ability to stay in the city. Open door policy? The door is open? Forgive me, this is not a mayor known for having an open door policy. Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, can I come in and see your gift room? I don't think the door is open, and I don't think any fans can have any impact. This is kind of insulting our intelligence here to think that any fan could have any say in whether the Bears leave Soldier Field and head to Arlington Heights. This isn't part of any process I've ever heard of. They had nothing to do with the Chicago Fire building on the 78. That was all Joe Mansueto. It doesn't have anything to do with the White Sox looking at the South Loop. That's all them trying to improve their situation. The Bears are tethered to the Chicago Park District. That's the whole problem with Soldier Field. There is a lease they don't own. They want to own, not rent. Every young couple can relate to that. You want your dream house, and it is going to be built in Arlington Heights. No fan has the financial wherewithal or the ability to change or affect the process. Stop trying to make this sound like anything other than what it is. The Bears got a better deal in Arlington Heights. They're doing what's best for the franchise. They're doing what's best for the McCaskies. They're going to make more money. This is about business. Bottom line. And no fan can have any impact on any of it.
All right, Bears fans, head over to your local Menards. Buy yourself a shovel, because we want shovels in the ground. If you are a crane operator, maybe you can drive your crane somewhere and protest. How about Bobcat drivers? I got a Bobcat next door, new house going up in the burbs. You know, maybe that operator is a Bears fan, and he can drive his Bobcat and spin it around in a 360 downtown. Really? So we're calling on the fans to, you know, grab your flashlight, grab your favorite yard, yard tool, rakes and shovels, and march around Soldier Field and say, you know, we're not leaving, and put cranes and Bobcats all around the stadium. Don't leave, Bears, please. Silly, silly, silly.
Cranes in the sky in Evanston.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's happening. There are stadiums being built in the state of Illinois. And everything you both have said is perfect. I think the first thing that came to my mind when I heard this was a GoFundMe. Should we start a fund?
That's absurd.
To build the state.
But it all is.
To put it on the fans, I think what he means by that is there's obviously not a lot of appeal for billionaires to ask for money to build a stadium. I think that's where he's getting at. So maybe fans need to rally around the idea of...
Well, if he's saying that, he's essentially saying he wants to put the onus on the McCaskies to spend money to invest right. in their stadium and not to put it on the taxpayer. Ruthie, and I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to disagree with that at all, but just say that.
Right.
Say that.
Right.
That we are not in an era or a political or an economic climate where we can afford to burden taxpayers with the bills for billionaires to build their stadiums. People have said it more eloquently and more accurately and more clearly
yeah.
than anything we heard yesterday.
Right. Everything you said was poetically perfect, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
Keep listening.
I have nothing to add, except GoFundMe.com.
/Bear Stadium/Fans Obligation/Chicago. !!
It's on us.
Ruthie Popo says, build a GoFundMe page. Keep listening right here on The Score for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Baseball After Dark at Wildfire in River North. That's tomorrow night. Special guest, Matt Shaw, hosted by Matt Spiegel, a pair of Matts. Baseball After Dark, presented by Huntington Bank. Life is a masterpiece. Make your money story a bestseller. And by Wildfire, join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating wonderful memories. 312-644-6767. What do you think of you, the fan, being burdened with the having to keep the Bears in Chicago? Or what do you think of Michael Soroka going on the injured list? Whatever you want, let us know. 312-644-6767. Ruthie Polinsky is in for Molly. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ruthie Popo.
I haven't seen a whole lot of stumbling blocks in terms of the under center work. It's for some guys, it feels like a fish out of water, but I have not felt that from him.
Ben Johnson talking about the changes in mechanics for Caleb Williams. He's now taking a lot of snaps under center.
And that is a big deal for the offense that Ben Johnson wants to run, and it's a big bit of learning for Caleb. And part of what's given me this kind of wave of optimism, you saw it hit me yesterday, Lawrence, as we listened to some of this tape, which was Caleb with Stacey Dales and Brian Baldinger on the NFL Network about his work under center so far in camp.
I actually enjoy being under center because it one, it messes with the defense, and then two, it gives me more ability to take a couple shots.
Yeah,
well, which is always fun. So you draw the defense in, we run the ball well, and that starts up front. It also starts with me and my communication and getting the guys going and my cadence and things like that. But you know, the guys up front, it always starts with them. It's always going to end with them. And so getting off the ball, showing like it's run. Everything looks the same. Everything looks like it's a run. Mm-hmm. Play action. Everything looks like run. Keeper. Everything looks like run. It is a run. Mm-hmm. So now you're getting these big plays and tiring the defense out and doing all these different things, and then it's like, oh, now you got a shot and you take it. And you know, when you don't have the shot, protect the football, take your check downs and move on to
I feel like in this league last year, okay, we saw so much too high shell across the league.
Yeah.
It was hard to take shots.
Yep.
Like they were taking it away from you. But the way that you get them out of it is to run it.
Run the ball.
You run them out of it.
Yep.
You know, so I always think, you know, DeAndre, Rashawn, like these guys, they don't mind being 8 yards deep and taking it like that. Rather than just being a point of entry back in a shotgun situation.
Yeah. No, they've been great.
So it's him understanding why and realizing what he can get out of it and like being excited about the whole process and digging it. I love his understanding and the quickness with which his brain is starting to work on this stuff.
Well, we hope that that's the case. Him wanting to be, him being a willing participant is a big deal. We don't know if it works yet. Right?
Like we know it works for a good functioning offense.
Right. But we don't know if he is comfortable in it yet.
No, we don't.
Because he hasn't been in peril yet.
Mm-hmm.
It made us think of a conversation that we had last year, and it was great. And actually, our next guest hooked this conversation up. Dave Wanstead and Troy Aikman go back a ways. And Troy Aikman, when he was on the show with us during football season last year, he talked about how an under-center quarterback and play action can help make a quarterback better.
I think there's a tendency for a lot of quarterbacks, they don't think so much about just avoiding the sack, avoiding the negative play. I do think that part of it is, and this again is not just Caleb, it's across the league what I see. And it's one of the reasons why last Monday night when I called the Bengals-Cowboys game, you know, Joe Burrow, he may not be the best quarterback in the league, but he's my favorite quarterback in the league. And he throws with anticipation better than anybody in the game. And so these quarterbacks come into the league today. They want to see receivers come out of their breaks. They're a little methodical in the pocket, so everything's kind of slowed down. It puts offensive linemen, which everyone will tell you, it's hard to develop offensive linemen. They're just simply not coming into the NFL. So now you take a position that's not being developed in college, the offensive line, and you put a quarterback behind him who's got this false sense of timing and is hanging on to the football, and they're taking a lot of sacks, which is essentially killing drives. The drives are over for the most part. When you take one of these sacks, I think the way that you speed a quarterback up, and I say this from experience because, you know, you mentioned Norv Turner, and when he came to Dallas, from day one until the last practice that he coached me 3 years later, every day he said, get out of there, get out of there, meaning get the ball from the center and drop back as quickly as you can. And we didn't run shotgun. And so I believe when you watch the 49ers or you watch the Green Bay Packers or even the Minnesota Vikings this week, they all come from this Mike Shanahan tree. And with that, there's a lot of under center. And then that tends to speed up the quarterback, and it speeds up the timing, so the ball's coming out, as opposed to just standing back there in shotgun, mm-hmm. because it's hard to develop a timing from the shotgun formation, and quarterbacks are sitting back there just holding on to it as if there's not a pass rush. And I just don't think it's winning football, and that's why I'm really bullish on that offensive system from the Mike Shanahan tree that we see across the league with a number of offenses that are having a great deal of success.
How about it? So I don't think it's winning football. And so this is what Caleb has to do. And he happens to have a coach who demands it and teaches it well.
I agree with 90% of what Troy said. I also think if you look at who the winning teams were in the NFL last year, there's plenty of them where the quarterback is in shotgun. You know,
all the time?
Yeah, not all the time, but Lamar's in shotgun a lot.
Jalen Hurts was in shotgun a lot.
Josh Allen is in shotgun a lot. Patrick Mahomes is in shotgun a lot. You can look up the percentages, but I think that there
that's
can
what
be,
I was doing.
There can
that?
Be a mix of all of this stuff. I don't think it has to be one way or the other. But for the system that Caleb's going to run, yeah, Jared Goff had incredible success being under center and then using that to his advantage because, one, Detroit decided you have to marry this to a run game concept that's going to work or at least going to show that you are willing to run it. And Caleb recognized that, him saying us making all of this stuff make same stuff look different and different stuff look the same. Like, that plays a role in it, too. The blanket statement of that you can't win football games that way or it's not winning football, I find that to be a little too strong.
Let me say this then. Why do you hate Troy Aikman? And, you know,
because he looks like Jay-Z.
He does look like Jay-Z. Does Jay-Z have a beer? As Troy does.
No, he's got like a champagne or something.
I bet he does. So, but Troy's got a beer. And he and Joe Buck do beer commercials together for Troy's Beer.
Oh.
I'm promoting that thing.
Yeah, I got the hat. I still got the hat. I should wear that.
It's a nice hat.
It is a nice hat. But I gotta tell you, Tanny, as a hat connoisseur, and I know I don't wear a lot of caps on this show.
You
and
really
I probably,
don't.
I should, because I have like 60 of them. I don't like the bar on the brim of the cap.
On the front of it? On the outside of it?
No, I'm total Kyle Shanahan. It gets cut the bar off.
Yeah.
You know?
The hat can speak on its own. It doesn't need that decoration on it.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.